Blog Talk Radio.
Featuring
Ricky Dillard and New G. Okay, amen.
Thank you.
now going to play better by Ezekiel Walker. Amen. Pastor Leroy on and Pastor Wanda, okay, and see how everybody's doing. All right. Okay, let's see. Is that you, Pastor Leroy?
Yeah, it's me, Pastor Ken, and I want to say that you and I have hit our 15-month mark since you have brought me on Blog Talk Radio and made me somewhat of a star. I'm not a complete star, but I really wanted to come on to say hi to Pastor Wanda. I have not talked to her in like 3 months.
Amen. Amen, yes. Let's bring her on, Pastor Wanda. Amen, Pastor Wanda. How you doing tonight?
I'm blessed and highly favored and rejoicing in the Lord. Thanking God,
amen.
He's the head of my life. How you doing, Pastor Ken?
I'm doing great, doing great.
All right, how you doing, Pastor Leroy?
Well, I'm doing great, Pastor Wanda. I'm glad you're still on the show, and I don't want to take up too much time, but I'm glad that Pastor Ken let me on the show, and let's go. Let's go for it, man.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Welcome, women of God, daughters of the King, giving God all praise and honor for being the head of my life. And to all the listeners, thank God for who he is in Jesus' name. The word tonight is true sorrow bring forgiveness and a new life. We'll be coming out of 2 Samuel 11:26 through chapter 12-13. It must have been a very frightening moment at the start of a conversation. It certainly was a conversation that could have cost Nathan his life. But God told Nathan to go to King David and tell him the truth of David's sin against Urim, Bathsheba, and God. So he went. The story Nathan told of a rich man and a poor man, and the sheep was shocking. It moved David to anger, but it did not sit stir of recognition in David. So Nathan come right out and said, "You are the man." David was brought up short, but as he listened to the rest of Nathan's words, as he listened to the consequences of sin, David came to a painful realization, "I have sinned against the Lord." This passage is considered by one of the most and the greatest in the Bible. It speaks the truth starkly and shows us how we really are. Not even the powerful can break the laws of God with impurities. God, through the Holy Spirit, is one of the constant companions. God leads us from sin and guides us in the truth. But God never violates our freedom of choice. We, like David, make our own choices. But David's response to Nathan shows us that godly sorrow is the best response to sin in our life. Excuse me. When the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, we must confess to God and say, "I have sinned against the Lord." Then God brings us back with hope for restored. He restores again. By God to bring glory, God empowers us to confess our sin and trust you to forgive. Excuse me, everybody. I just woke up. I had to jump up as though I was supposed to be on the radio. Sorry about that. God empowers us to confess our sins and trust you to be forgiven. Amen. Well, let's look at this story. This story, God sent the prophet because David wanted Bathsheba. And he sinned against Urim and God. So, you know, I'm going to look at repentance. We're going to look at repentance as well. And let's go to the next story. I want you to understand God wants us to repent. So we're going to the second story of repentance. Okay, it's not about saying, I just did this and, you know, make some excuses. That means that's making and God knows our heart. See, that he don't look at the head knowledge. He looks at the heart. Because, see, God already know what you'll do before you do it. Because, see, if you look in Psalm 139, God knew, so he created us. He know our lying and getting up. He know when we sin against him. So David had sinned because he wanted this woman, and it wasn't his wife. This is Bathsheba had a husband. I'm giving you a little short background of it. And he looked at a beauty. See, he could have asked God for a woman, but no. He looked at Bathsheba and desired her. Then he saw her husband on the front line, and he was killed just to have her. But he had to repent. Prophet had to come and tell, but David was just a mere man, but even though he was a king. So let's go to the second part. Let's go look at what David said in Psalm 51. Okay. David wrote Psalm 51 as he struggled with his sin of adultery with Bathsheba and the scheme to murder her husband, Uriah. David responded to his sin by crying out to God for mercy. He knew that God's mercy and God's loving kindness could restore him. As Christians, in our human body, we are mindful of how it is to sin, and yet how difficult it can be for us to face the consequence of our sin. Sins bring torment, restlessness, and disease. When we come before God to confess, we bring our transgression and our iniquities to our confession. God, however, meets us in the steadfast love and mercy. The Psalms is a heartfelt confession of guilt, but it's clearly not focused on guilt. There are one more thing. David's psalm expressed the confidence and courage with which we can approach God in repentance. The Psalms remind us to give us an endless possible of pardon for our change, for the new life. We need to be preoccupied with guilt. We shouldn't have that. We don't need preoccupation of guilt. We only need to repent, seek forgiveness, trust God in the power, and to change our life. All the sinners and all the saints throughout the history have struggled to be faithful. They were sorrowful when they sinned. They came to God in repentance prayer, and they were restored time and time again. To live as a faithful follower of God intend them to be. We as a present day Christian, John, David, and all others who have come before God in the gracious literature of confession, repentance, and restored us to the life of faith. With confidence and courage, we can start over again. God's grace and steadfast love surrounded us now and forever. Okay? Being a Christian means making daily choices between good and bad, between obedience and sin. Today, be aware of God's presence in the strength of the Holy Spirit to guide you. In Jesus' name. You know, I thank God for Jesus. Okay? Thank God for Jesus. Because if we didn't have Jesus, we wouldn't have repentance. We wouldn't have love, forgiveness, mercy. We wouldn't have anything. We would have the wrath of God, Satan tormenting, hell, eternal death. But God gave us Jesus to mend the way, okay? Back then, it was David and God. We don't need a priest. We have the high priest. We have the sacrifice of the Lamb, and it's Jesus Christ. That's today. Back then, they didn't have what we have today. But they still had to repent, okay? Anybody that has sinned, is nobody perfect. I want you to understand, no one is perfect. All have sinned and came short of the glory of God. Amen? But thank God, today we have Jesus. We have the whole Bible. We have Psalm 51 to show us how to repent. David was a man after God's own heart. Whoa. He was a king. But there was sin still crouching in his life. He's one, the desire of lust and adultery. Wanting something, and that was another form of coveting. See, a coveting spirit, wanting somebody else's wife. Okay? Today, like, you know, I never saw many people, and I have told them I have never wanted anybody else's husband. And I thank God. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I had many sins in my life, and I didn't have to repent. Fall before a living God, before my peers, the house of the Lord, the body of Christ, the church. And I had to talk out in sin, and I'm going to hell saying this, but today I can say, God have forgiven me, hallelujah, and he have wiped the slate clean for all of us. Your debt have been paid through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. So let's get to, I got some more things that God has given me, and it's awesome what he gave me. And I thank God. Thank God for the blood, the covering. I thank him. All right. Let's get to the second part. It's not a guilt party tonight. This is telling about sorrow brings forgiveness and a new life. Now let's see how about this new life we can have. Start your new life with Christ. You can have a real lasting peace today through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Start your four-step journey now. The first step, God purchased peace and life. So we're going to look at it. God loves you, and he wants you to experience the peace of eternal life. The Bible said we have the peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but he have an eternal life. John 10:10. I said, Jesus have come that we may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. What keeps us from having the life God planned for us? Let's look at the second part. This is what the problem of our separation from God. God created us in his image. He gave us the will and the freedom of choice. We have a choice to disobey him and to go our own ways, which is called sin. This separates us from God. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Get Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. For the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Our choice to sin separates us from God. People have tried many ways to bridge this gap between themselves and God. But the Bible says there is the way that appears to be right, but in the end, that end leads to death. And that's Proverbs 14:12. Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you. So God is at one. Let's look at what bridge. The third bridge, this is all when you have sin, and it shows us what gets us back in right standing. We already see God love, that he gave his only son, so our sins are forgiven, okay? And that's something to praise God each and every day, because if we wouldn't have Jesus, we wouldn't have nothing. If we didn't have the New Testament, we still wouldn't have it. And a lot of people say, I got this. Nobody got anything. The only God has everything. In Zechariah 4:6, he says, it's not by the might of man or the power of man, but it's by what? His spirit. So let's look at step three. God bridges the cross, okay? Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose up from the grave. When he did that, he paid the penalty for our sins and bridged the gap between us and God. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God, one mediator between God and mankind, the man, Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 3:8, for God also suffered once for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Hallelujah. God has provided the only way back to him. You must make a choice. It's a choice. Amen? Let's look at the fourth. Our response is receive Jesus. We must trust and receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. John 1:12. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave them the right to become the children of God. Romans 10:9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Which side are you on? This is a question I want to ask. Which side are you on? The side with Christ or the side without Christ? Okay. Here's how we can accept Christ in our life. Admit that we need him and we are a sinner. Okay. Being willing to turn from your sin and repent. Believe that Jesus died for you in the cross and rose from the grave. Be saved by faith. Hallelujah. Through prayer, inviting Jesus to control your life through the Holy Spirit, receiving him as the Lord and Savior. I got a prayer. Dear Lord, and Pastor does this, the altar call. Many pastors, all of the altar call are drawing somebody to know Jesus Christ. See, because God wants his people to repent. Even the ones that don't know him and they come to receive him. A lot of people love the things of the world. God don't want you to love the things of the world. He wants you to seek the things of the kingdom. That's Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness and everything else to be added. There's no lack of wanting the kingdom of God. And God does not want his people to suffer and then have condemnation and then oppress or depress. Now, see, Jesus came to fulfill everything. And a lot of people are doing a lot of things in their own strength and think that God don't see them. Now, I'm going to give you a reason why God sees and knows everything. Tonight, in 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord is running to and fro. He never sleeps and never slumbers. A lot of times I got away with something. You can't. No one can get away from anything. Nothing is hidden from God. God takes care of everything on this in this universe. Everything he knows. Please do an altar call.
Yes, I surely will. If you're out there and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, you have a chance to do so right now. All you have to do is simply say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. And I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and then rose from the dead on the third day. So once again, I thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true. So please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Well, if you said that prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministries want to welcome you into the family of God. We want to say, may the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored. Again, if you said that prayer, we'd like you to call in to area code 657-383-1487. Now, it's again at 657-383-1487. Then press the 1 key, and I'll bring you on so that you can tell the whole world that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior tonight. Amen. Amen. All right, Pastor Wanda.
All right. We'll take 3 calls. And I will not. We'll take 3 calls, and I'm just praying to God, no foolishness, and thank God for you, Pastor.
Amen. We'll take area code 111 and see what they've got to say. 111, you're on air. Hello? Okay, gone once, gone twice, gone. Okay, 111.
Shut it down.
Yep. Let's try another one. 111, you're on the air. Okay. They dropped. All righty. Well, we took the calls.
Hey, man, the Lord is in control. He knows. Well, Pastor Leroy, we'll just have an open talk now, right now. Hey, Pastor Leroy.
Yeah, I'm here, babe.
How you been?
Well, we've had a lot of rough times here in New York. It's been difficult here. We've been dealing with a lot of smoke from the Canadian wildfires for the last 8 days, and today was the first clear day since the beginning of June. So we are happy to be here, and we're happy to be a part of the show tonight. And thank you, Pastor Ken, for allowing me on your show, man. I'm just sitting on the line.
You're so welcome.
And Pastor Ken, I know it was a joyful and thankful of when you acknowledged God and healed your cancer. Okay.
Yes, amen.
It's, you know, we had an awesome day down here in Atlanta. Had a lot of things, a lot of spiritual warfare, but, you know, I know God is in control. There's something, you know, when you look at life and having been thankful for everything that God does, because He's the creator, life giver. You know, I looked at, we had certain things going on. I just don't even want to speak on it on the air, because people run with certain things and what God owns. And I had to, you know, really break it down to many people. When they think they own something, the Lord had me to tell you don't own anything. He owns it. Okay. And it's been just something. You know, today I said I needed this, God. Didn't have to pay. I wish y'all was down here, Pastor Ken. God, he just been overflowing from everything that you need for the word of God. When he said, I am your provider, that's what he is. Got to minister, got to preach, got to pass through, get to receive. And, you know, it's my own time not receiving, but he just turned it back around. You know, I went out there feeding the homeless, okay? Lost all the food in my house. The refrigerator went out. The AC went out. But I still had to thank God. A whole bunch of things. A lot of people went home to glory, but by the grace and mercy, we still here by the land of the living of God. Okay? He's still allowing us here. And there's a lot of people, what we have to do is start praying. That's the next thing that God, we'll do a series on prayer. Why prayer is so essential. A direct line to God. A lot of people call 911 instead of we have a direct line to call on God. And it's been amazing. That's all I want to say. It's been amazing. I've been, you know, because I haven't went anywhere. Haven't been out of town or anything. Because you let me go, Pastor, you let. But that's something that have to be still. Okay? Being still is one of the greatest things. And putting your trust in God. And knowing that he will do what he says. Because he says, this is the word he gave me, Pastor. Expectation. Expect me to move. I said, Walker, expect. Okay, the things you need, your rent, your bills, your help, where I provide for you, you know, even pray for your neighbors. You know, I've been seeing a whole bunch of stuff since I've been back in Atlanta, but it's just awesome to see how God moves, and he's doing a shifting. He's doing a shifting. Yes.
Amen.
But I just wanted to thank you, thank God for you. Because I know who is doing everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Pastor Wanda, I want to tell you I love you and I miss you, and I'm glad you and I got to hook up tonight, my sister in Christ.
Amen. Pastor, we got assignment. We have some big assignments. Well, some of my sisters were talking, giving me ideas. They telling me what's going on in Missouri or somewhere. They have a lot of next generation, and we're going to start praying for a lot of things. And Pastor, what you think about this? We're going to pray on it. Don't you think about it? We have a prayer night. We're thinking about a prayer night. For the land and the nation.
Yes, yes, Lord. Okay. We pray for our country that it may be strong and be able to withstand all of our enemies, okay, that we can gather in your name, okay, and give thanks to you, our Father in heaven. Amen.
Yes. A night of intercessory, okay, praying for others, you know, okay, because a lot of people are in need. Some are suffering, some hospital, a lot of them over in the other lands fighting for peace right now. Mothers, fathers that raising kids by themselves, and the elders who have outlived everybody and they don't want to stay here. It's a whole bunch we have to pray for, the ones in the hospital. Hospice, just a little bit of everything, okay? The Congress, teachers, when it's time for them to go back to school after this, we got to stand and be the church. Amen.
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 Okay. We got a caller here. Let's take it and see who we got. 111.
Amen.
You're on the air.
Well, the kids that are getting molested by these pastors and teachers. And these politicians that think it's all right to touch kids.
Okay.
We pray on that always. You know, I have to ask God and bind things up. Are you praying? I want to ask you, are you praying?
Not at this moment.
So listen. You know, that's one of the things I want to express. When we see it and know things, we're going to have to start going before God. And we can't come on and ask for prayer, but we got intercede and we go against all that what goes on. So when we ask God to expose them, you know that.
Why do you reckon that you pray for all these things and then God doesn't answer us? Why do you reckon that happens?
My God answered prayer. It's not in our timing. You understand, sir? See, we don't know the thoughts of God, the mind of God. He said, his ways are not his ways, and our thoughts are not his thoughts.
What about the homeless? You keep feeding the homeless, but God, why is that letting that happen?
I'm going to stop you right now because why? And I'm going to tell you, in the Word of God, when you study the Word of God, it was homeless at the beginning. Jesus came, the Son of Man didn't have a place to lay his own head, but he owned everything. Okay? So when you look in the Word of God, it will show you everything that you're speaking about. That's why he tells us to study thyself to show thyself approved, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. It's been homeless since day one. Okay? We need to throw tents up. There's nothing new under the sun in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, sir. I'm going to keep on feeding because, see, I was homeless at one time. So I didn't forget what God had brought me. I was homeless at 10 years old. So that is my call, whatever he told him. And if you look in the Word of God in Isaiah 58:6-8, and he says this, is this not the fast I've chosen to loose the bonds of wickedness, undo the heavy burden, to let the fresh go free? It's not to share your bread with the hungry. When you see the naked, do you hide yourself from your own flesh? That is the fast that God has called. And it's a reason. Some have not humbled themselves, so God has to humble some people. It's not by drugs. It's not by this. Some have fell in hardship. Some have not went to God. Some say, I'd rather stay out there. When you sit out there, they know God more than we do, some of them. Some of the people of the homeless. But they are humble. They saw them are humble. Sit down there. If you ever just go sit and talk, and then you'll understand. Some saw their whole family get killed, and they have not realized. This is what they said, this is where I'd rather be. And then how people treat other people. And so I'm saying, I don't want to listen to nobody. I'd rather stay on the street. But they know God. A lot of them know God, sir. But God takes care of
people.
He provides food.
We need people to go pray to these homeless people, get them straightened out.
We go pray. Sir, we go pray. We go out and seek and save the lost, Luke 19:10. We go out with the spiritual food first, ask them, do they know Jesus Christ? Would they like to come in? Then we feed them natural. And then God have moved a lot of people off the street. Some have got vouchers, got homes. God have restored some of them life. But it's in God's timing. It ain't why. And so I say, God said, give thanks in all things.
Well, there used to be a homeless man. I'm sorry. There used to be a homeless man that called in here, and he asked for blowjobs.
Listen, young man, get off the phone. Get off the phone. We're not doing this. You're working for Satan. You said one thing. You're working for the Father of Lies.
Kroger.
Don't eat you something in. But you be blessed
Kroger
in Jesus'
Washington.
Name. You be
Kroger
blessed
Washington.
In Jesus' name.
He's homeless.
He didn't ask for that. God, you be blessed, sir.
Yeah.
All right, Pastor. Pastor, go to the next person.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, this is Wayne Kerr from Fruit of the Loom. I wanted to talk to Pastor Wanda about a possible marketing deal.
I don't do marketing. I don't work for nobody but God. I'm retired.
Listen, your good support will help a lot of good with the people that you help too. I mean, we can give them a lot of fluorescent shirts. Things that you know, need for the homeless people so they won't be hit by cars at night. And we'd like to do some marketing deal with you. You notice a lot of people called you about obtaining an underwear line from you. So we were wondering if we can have your support and pay
you
royalty for it.
Listen, I'm not even entertaining that foolishness about panties and stuff like that. What you need to listen, I'm going to tell you something.
I guarantee you I am real. If you call the Shinjin office of Fruit of the Loom in China, you'll see my name all over the website and my picture on there, ma'am. I am not kidding with you.
Send it to me. Send it to me and send it to Pastor. We'll pray over it. Listen, I pray over it. If the Lord says no. See, but listen, sir. It's how you presented it. In first and foremost, marketing. Okay, God give me everything free, and I pass the stuff out to the homeless. See, it's just not about underwear. Okay, see, we pass out tents, we pass out hygiene, pass out the Word of God, we pass literature first. Okay, God didn't have me to pass underwear to people for men. I'm going to get it right, boxers to men when you see them and they don't have any clothes on and then about lost their mind. Now, I can talk to you all day about anything the Holy Spirit will tell me. But
blow
if
job.
You want, see, but we're gonna ask God to forgive you. See, I'm going to tell you something, and the Lord had to show me something. You know all these calls and prank calls that call here? Are you lonely? And you need to know Jesus, okay? Because you got that much idle time, and you're allowing the enemy to use your mouthpiece as you're hurting yourself. You can't hurt us who are in the body of Christ. But God said, you are the one that really needs Jesus because you're sitting there lonely. You hear the word of God, but you still won't receive it. You still try to come at the body of Christ, but you're coming at the Lord. And you call with the foolishness. You call in with ignorance.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
Hello. 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 Right. Thank you, Jesus. But, Pastor.
All right. Let's take a call here from 336. Let's see who we got. Is this Joe?
Yes, it is.
Hey, how you doing, Joe?
I'm doing all right. I just got some serious questions, three questions. Somebody did tell me to, one of them to ask, but I don't know if I will. But did you say you were retired or retarded?
First of all, sir, I speak very clear. I'm not retarded. I have been retired because the Lord retired me to serve him for the kingdom of God. Okay?
Oh, okay. All right. And is it true that you asked for the Pope to give you a hand job?
No, you know what, sir? God will take care of each one of you all. You with the malice mouth.
I'm just asking
malice
a serious question, sir.
No, first of all, I'm going to tell
you.
What?
You
listen,
hold
on. Let me tell him what God told me.
Hold on.
Listen.
Hold on. Pastor Wanda.
First and foremost, you asked the question from Pastor Wanda. First of all, the Lord heard you. And you're working for the
You can't be a pastor as a female.
Yes, I can.
No, you cannot.
God said he'll pour out his. First of all, sir, you better study your.
Women must be silent. You cannot be teachers over men.
No, that's what you. Listen, I ain't over no man. I have came to do a job with God gave because you own a show for women of God, daughters of a king. You're not no woman that coming on.
But you cannot teach over men, though. The Bible says that very clearly.
Listen, you still ain't listening what kind of show.
But you're not remaining silent.
First of all, we just got on for repentance. I'm speaking on the Women of God, Daughters of a King program on Rainbow Ministry in Jesus' name. But you have a blessed and a prosperous day.
I know. I will. Thank you very much for saying that. But the fact of the matter is you still didn't answer the questions that I did ask. So are they false or true?
I don't have to answer just like Jesus. Jesus didn't answer any of his accusers in Jesus' name. But you be blessed.
Well, what do you mean?
You
well, hang on. I had three questions.
No,
I'm not answering.
Joe
Listen.
Gibson. Joe Gibson.
We're not answering.
Joe
yes.
See, fucking Gibson.
Yes.
Let me say this to you, man. Let me say this to you.
Okay.
I called into your show 2 weeks ago, and you called me a fucking nigger and hung up on me, man.
No, I didn't.
So, yeah,
no,
you
I did
damn
not.
Well did, motherfucker.
No, I didn't.
Don't tell me you didn't do that.
I did not.
All right.
I did not, but I'll tell you what. Right now, I'll say, you're a fucking nigger. How about that?
Oh, there you go. Yes. There you go, man.
There you go.
There you go.
You came
and
out.
You
came out.
You are a piece of shit. You're a goddamn racist motherfucker, and you can go fuck yourself. How about that?
No, I did not fuck your mother. I never fucked your mother. Okay.
All right. We're going to get off this subject. Hang it up, Pastor.
He's the one that said it, not me.
You be blessed.
I didn't bring up mothers.
Amen.
All right, one more. Thank you, women of God, daughters of the King, but most of all, we give thanks and thank God.
Shut him down, Pastor.
We glorify and magnify of who you are, Father God, and I thank you. And Father, move by your power, by your might, by your spirit. And Father God, no weapon formed against this ministry, against any of the hosts, any of the pastors, because we know the vengeance of the Lord belongs to you. And we get glory and honor because we have been called for greatness. And I thank you, Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for forgiving us. And thank you for blessing each and every one of us to have the breath of God. And we love you. We thank you. And Pastor Ken and Pastor Leroy, I love y'all. God bless you in Jesus' name, as well as women of God, daughters of the King, and all the ones for Rainbow Ministry. And we give honor, praise, and glory to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God bless you, Pastor Wanda. You know I love you, and I'm glad you're on the show tonight.
I've been on. I've been asking about you, but Pastor said you had to take care of some business and stuff like that, and I know. You all say a lot of warfare, but you know what? We win. God told me something. We win, and we are victorious. We are conquerors. So those are small things that come at us, but it will not work. When God said it will not work, okay? But I thank God for you. And how is the radio station?
We're doing fine over here at Father's house, but I'm going to say right now, Pastor Wanda, thank you
yes, sir.
For being on the show, and thank you for talking to me tonight. But I got a lot of stuff I want to say to Joseph Gibson after you come off the show that I don't want
to hear. I'm finna come off. I love y'all. Pastor, are we going to do service tomorrow?
Yeah, we're going to do service tomorrow.
Okay, what time? So I'll be there and I'll be praying while you are on the air.
8 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time, which is 9
okay,
o'clock
here. All right, Pastor Leroy, what time are you going to be on? So I'm going to intercede in behalf while you speaking. Okay.
Well, we're always on at 5 p.m. on Father's house, and I would love for you to just show up there one night and say hi. That'd be phenomenal. We'll be on tomorrow night at 5 p.m. Eastern Time.
All right, y'all. Be blessed. In the mighty name of Jesus, I love you, and God love you. Be blessed.
Amen. God bless you,
Amen.
Pastor Weiner.
All right. Hallelujah.
Let's take a caller here. Okay. 585. Okay. Yeah, I believe that's Cobra Jeff. Hey, Cobra Jeff.
Hey, Pastor. How's it going tonight?
Doing great. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. I was trying to get on. I wanted to talk to Pastor Wanda. She's one of my favorite pastors around. But I know she left. So how's everybody doing tonight?
Doing great. Doing great.
So I got to ask Pastor Leroy and Pastor Ken, since you're both godly men, I don't know if you heard about the UFO crashing in Las Vegas yesterday. Did you guys hear about that?
No.
Yeah, I heard about that. I heard about that, and I saw the video, right? So I'm looking at it through TMZ, and I'm like, okay, so it crashed into somebody's yard, right? So TMZ goes there with their cameras, and guess what? There's nothing there but dirt. So I don't understand why they think a UFO crashed. Look, I saw that a green thing crashed in somebody's yard, but I don't know. You tell me.
Well, Pastor Leroy, you tell me. You don't think, like, if something crashed, you don't think the government would be there in 30 seconds to kind of take care of it? So, I mean, and this isn't the only sighting in the past couple of weeks of UFOs crashing and stuff. So I guess my question to you pastors is this the end of times we're in now? You know, that the aliens are coming?
Well, I don't really know about aliens. We are at the end of times. Okay? It's just a matter of time before Jesus comes back. Okay? And then this world will really be shocked.
Do you think Jesus loves aliens?
Well, to tell you the truth, God created Earth for man. Okay? He doesn't talk about creating aliens. Okay? He doesn't talk about creating other beings in other worlds. He created the Earth for man. Okay, to reign on, to live on, okay, to live on, okay. So it doesn't talk about aliens.
But why would he create aliens if all they want to do is like anal probe his creation? So you know, if he created Earth and the man, you know, why would he create something that would harm his creations? You know, I guess that's why I'm confused.
Good question. But like I said, God created man for Earth, and so as far as aliens go, I don't get it. I don't buy it. Okay, I don't buy it. Okay, there's no proof that aliens exist.
So Pastor Ken, are you telling me that you think in this whole wide universe, we are the only intelligent life in this whole universe? Pastor Leroy, what's your take?
No, I mean, I totally disagree with that. And all due respect to you, Pastor Ken, but, I mean, how can you say in the vast universe that we're the only intelligible people in the universe. I don't agree with that.
God says so.
And that's the bottom line, because God said so.
There you go. There you go.
Well, I got to be with Pastor Leroy. I disagree. I mean, I truly think, you know, there's other beings. I don't think they're little gray, big-headed, big-eyed thingies, but you never know what they are. Maybe Jesus was an alien. You never know. You ever think of that, Ken?
Yeah, but I don't think so.
I mean, if you've ever seen you ever heard of the movie Prometheus? It's a prequel to the Alien movies. And in that, it is stated that, you know, Jesus was sent to Earth by the creators, engineers. So he was an alien, trying to save humanity. And when they crucified Jesus, the engineers got pissed off. So maybe that's the truth. Maybe movies are right. You ever think of that?
Yeah, I thought about it. Okay. I believe that Jesus was the Son of God, and he was sent here from his Father, okay, to redeem mankind.
Maybe God is an engineer. And Jesus was sent here from him. You got to be open-minded, Ken. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You never know.
Yeah, you never know. Let's take another call here. 111, you're on the air.
Hello, caller.
Hello.
Gotta have faith.
Okay, we got some more callers here. Let's take them. 111, you're on here.
Hi, Ashley.
Yep. Let's try another one. 111.
Hi. Ash. Ken, it's Ash. Say hi.
Okay, they hung up. All right. Anyway, let's give a shout-out to Juan from Alabama and his kinfolk. Give a shout-out to Pastor Leroy. Give a shout-out to Cobra Jeff. Okay, Ashley, David Vandermelon, DC2, Dr. Kent, Tony Farrar, Gavin Moorhead, Joseph Gibson, and Tim McGillicuddy. Okay, God bless you all.
Speaking of that, Kenny, don't hang up yet. Hold on. I got to say something to Pastor Leroy, too. How about we get Joseph Gibson back on the line here? Come on, Joey. Get on the line, buddy. Leroy, would you like that, too, buddy? You want to talk to Gibson with me? Get in here. Well, I don't appreciate Joey calling Leroy the N-word, a nagger. That's not very godly.
No, it's not.
Well, okay. You know what I think about the funny part of that is that Joey, after he called me that, hung up because he's nothing but a pusswad. There you go. And Jeff, I have to say you and I have become – pretty cool friends over the past month or two. You and I had our issues in the past, and I appreciate you coming on here and supporting me. So thank you.
No problem, Leroy. Leroy, Kenny, you guys have a wonderful night. God bless.
God bless. Amen. All right, 111, you're on the air. Hello.
Excuse me. This is Dexter Jackson. I'm the cousin of, this is Dexter Washington. I'm the cousin of Grover Washington, Pastor Ken. I just wanted to come on and make a plea for Grover to come home. I don't know where Grover is. I know that he was at the mission in San Antonio and was kicked out. And now no one seems to know where Grover is. I was told that he was in your chat room a few nights ago. And Pastor Ken, I'm asking, as a man of the Lord and a friend, can you please tell me what you remember about that evening?
Well, he came in the chat room tonight too, and all he said was help. And I asked him, what does he need help with? And he wouldn't respond.
Is that, he said help? Like he in trouble? Is he
yeah.
in trouble?
I don't know. He just said help.
Okay, listen, I called the show on behalf of my mama because she really worried about Grover. She took care of Grover when he was a youngster. And we just trying to, you know, find him and help him. We know he's, you know, has some problems with drugs and women. He's getting into, you know, doing some stuff he wouldn't normally do, Pastor Ken. I mean, like, he got kicked out of mission for apparently getting a blowjob or giving a blowjob. I don't know. It's not really in Grover's nature to do that. But the man needed money, apparently. So listen here. I would just like to make a public plea to my cousin Grover Washington. I know you're listening, brother. I don't know where you are. I don't know where you are. I don't know if a man or a person or a group of people, maybe the government. I don't know who, you know, who kidnapped. What if you've been kidnapped, I don't know what's going on, Grover. But Grover, Mama wants you to come home, Grover. Mama wants you to come home. We want you to come home. You're sick. You need help, Grover. So please call in. I want to just say we love you. We forgive you for your trespasses, like the Bible said, Grover. Come on, baby. You got to come home, baby.
Yes.
So Grover,
go home, Grover.
We love you.
That's
yeah, thank
you,
Pastor Kent. Yeah, yeah. That's the best place. We're going to get you some help, Grover. We're going to get you some help. We're going to pray the gay away if that's needed. Whatever it takes, brother. You got to come home, baby. Take care of you. Grover, call in if you can, man. Try to find a phone. I need to connect. Family needs to connect with you, Grover. Mama needs you. Family needs you. I'm pleading with you, Grover. I'm pleading. I'm begging and pleading. Like I'm a goddamn R&B singer, Grover. Come on. All right? All right. Thank you, Pastor. Yeah,
right.
Can I stay on the line, brother, because just in case Grover called in?
Sure you can. Sure.
Thank you, man. This has been Dexter Washington. I'm a cousin of Grover's, a very close. Appreciate you, sir, for having me on. And please, if you're a godly person listening to the program, please say a prayer for my cousin Grover Washington. He is missing, and we are trying to bring Grover home. We need him home.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, our prayers go out to Grover. Amen. All righty. Let's bring on a call here. 111, you're on the air. Hello? 111, you're on the air. Going once, going twice, gone. All righty. Well, okay, well, I'm going to say God bless everybody.
Wait. Pastor Ken.
Yeah.
Pat, it's Dexter. It's Dexter again, man. You got to give him a little bit of time. It's like your show is what? How much longer?
About 48 minutes.
48 minutes. Okay, listen, brother. I really need you to push it through tonight because tonight is the night I feel like the Lord is telling me that Grover is going to call the show, okay? I will stay on here with you even though my COPD is kicking in heavy. I'm having a hard time. But I will stay on with you, brother, and we will chop it up until somebody calls. Because, listen, man, it's very important that I find my cousin. That's my blood, man. That's my family.
Yes, I know.
So please, Mr. Kenneth Fishman, please find it in your godly soul to complete the time of your show tonight for the wellness and the love of Grover Washington. Please, brother.
All right. Okay.
Thank you, brother. All right.
Let's bring on 7x7. 7x7, you're on the air. Ashley, is that you? Seven by seven. Okay, you have a mic issue. Okay, I'll take another call on that. 111. You're on here.
Grover! Grover! Talk to me. It's Dexter, brother. Brother, where are you, man?
I'm in Mexico.
What?
I'm in Mexico.
What the fuck are you doing in Mexico, Grover?
I've been running drugs back across the border for the Zetas.
Grover, listen, man. Mama want you to come home, Grover. Mama want you to come home. Do you love Mama?
I make a lot of money for the, running the cocaina. And,
You're gonna get yourself killed, man. With your COPD, you can't be doing all that wild shit. That shit ain't for 60-year-old men. Come on, Grover. You know your health ain't good, and Mama's getting old, man. She want to see you, Grover. God damn it! Listen to me. You got to come home. You got to come home, Grover. If you don't come home, I'm gonna have to hunt you down. And you know you don't want that. Now I will come find you, and I will tie your hands behind your back like I did the last time. I'll put you in the caddy. I'll put your ass in the trunk if I have to, Grover. I'm done playing around with you, man. Mama want you home. You got to stop doing this craziness with the drugs and bring your ass home, Grover.
I went down I-35 to Laredo, and I walked right across that border because Joe Biden doesn't have much of a border anymore. I'm in Nuevo León in Mexico.
We all know Joe Biden's an old motherfucker, man. I think he dead. I think they do that weekend Bernie shit with him when they just hold him up and they like he like a pinata and shit or what are those things called where you stuff your hand up your asshole and you make a puppet. He a puppet. That's what that man died 23 years ago. Listen, let's keep
that's
it real.
I think that's called fisting.
Oh, fisting a puppeteer. Whatever, man. Listen here, okay? We don't have cocaine or cocaina money, as you call it, Grover. But we have family money, man. We got looms, family heirlooms up in this motherfucker. Will you please come home? See, some motherfuckers addicted to crack, Kenny, and drugs and whatnot, like you were, and cock. But Grover is addicted to green, man. He loved the money. I got to get him home. Kenny, can you tell Grover to please come home? His mama needs him.
Yes, Grover, you need to go home. Your mother needs you. So does your cousin. Okay? Okay, they want you home. You need to go home.
Thank you, Kenny.
They don't expect me because I'm 60 years old, and they don't expect me being the one being a drug mule, teasering the cocaine and the fentanyl up my butt, shoot. They don't expect me.
You putting that... Grover, shut up. You putting fentanyl in your asshole? That'll kill you, man. That shit
it's
will kill you. It don't matter.
Condom.
Listen, it don't
It don't matter. The shit is so strong, it'll kill you. Grover, you got to immediately knock that shit off. We got to put a prayer group together for Grover. This is not good. He going to end up dead, or he going to end up in jail, or he going to end up getting munged, maybe, I don't know, for some cocaine if he gets killed. But listen, Grover, what is it going to take, Grover, for you to come home and see Mama? Mama ain't well. She old. You know how old she is. Come on, man. How you going to put cocaine ahead of your own mama? She birthed you, man. You came out her, her nether regions, man. Come on, Grover.
Vaginal. The vagina. Yep.
No, but I'm just saying, how are you going to do that, man?
Well, I don't need to see it. I mean, I've been out of it a long time. I don't. It's not like
no,
I missed
not,
it or anything.
No, Grover, don't be smart. Grover, don't try to be smart with me right now, man. Okay? Knock it off. Knock off this foolishness, man. I'm talking about seeing your mama. Your mama. The person, man. Not a nether regions. That's gross, man. That's some Ken Hopper shit. I ain't into that, man. Listen, you come home and you see your mama and your brothers, man. You got brothers too, man. What are you doing?
I'm making money.
Okay, listen here. I'm done playing around with you, man. I'm done playing around with you, you old-ass motherfucker. Listen to me. I'm bringing a caddy. I'm coming to get you, okay? Now, you're going to come willingly or you're going to come unwillingly. But you're going to come because I'm coming to get you, motherfucker, and I'm bringing your big-ass brother with me. Well, the big one, not the little one, not the fruity one. But I'm going to bring your big-ass brother with me, and we're going to get you. We're going to put you in the caddy, okay? You're going to be in the caddy. And first thing we're going to do, we're going to strip you down, make sure you ain't got nothing in your asshole. And you won't want none of that, okay? Because you ain't carrying no drugs in my Cadillac, motherfucker. Well, we coming to get you. You in Mexico. I'm going to find you, Grover. This is bullshit that you putting the family through. Bullshit. You need to come home and spend time with your mother.
I'm in Nuevo Laredo. Nuevo León.
I'm gonna find you, Grover.
It's down I-35 past Laredo. Ken, you been there?
No, I can't say I have. No, I haven't been down that way.
Can I ask my cousin a question, please? Because I'm really, really dying to know how this happened. What in the fuck? Excuse my language, Kenny, but this is family. This is family talk right here. Listen, man, how the hell do you go from being an Uber driver at a mission for homeless people to putting drugs in your asshole? Grover, you a straight man. You ain't never put nothing in your asshole as far as I know. I mean, I don't know, but I thought you was a straight motherfucker.
Well, I don't do it for sexual gratification. I don't like anything up there for pleasure.
Oh, okay.
But
I'm
making money. That way I don't have to be in the mission anymore. I used to have a pastor that came down to Haven for Hope, and he would minister to me. And one time he gave a charity blowjob, but then that guy never came around anymore. And that man's name...
Wait. So this motherfucker is the reason you left? What was his name?
His name was Kent Fishman.
No.
Kent Fishman.
Kenny.
He abandoned me, and I've been depressed ever since. I go down by the tracks, and I think about jumping in front of the train. This time I just got on the road and went south down I-35 past Laredo into Nuevo León. And I said, let me help you. Let me help you, Mexicans. And I've been running back and forth across the border ever since.
Kenny, how could you do that, man? How could you let him down, man? You're supposed to be a pastor, Kenny. You let him down, man. You was giving him the word of the Lord. He was on the right path, brother. Why did you stop going to see him, Kenny?
I didn't. I never went down there to see him in the first place.
What? You call? Wait. Hold on, motherfucker. Hold on. You call my cousin a liar? When you talking about Tel Aviv and shit? Motherfucker, you don't call my cousin a liar. He ain't a liar.
What about
he say you down there and you drain his balls, then that's what happened. That's what happened. Now, you need to own up to your bullshit, sir. This is ridiculous. Listen, listen. No, no, you look here. Look here. This is Dexter. This is Dexter Washington. This is Dexter Washington. My cousin Grover does not lie. If he said that you drained his balls, as he were, then you drained his balls, and you also gave him the word of the Lord, Ken. Now, why would you give up on a man like that? That is ungodly. That's some Ken Hopper shit. I'm so upset right now. God damn it. Grover, I'm coming to get you. I'm hanging up the phone. I'm gassing the caddy, and I'm going to come get you. I'm bringing your brother, Terrence, with us, and we coming. All right, man? We going to come get you. Kenny, I'm disappointed in you, motherfucker.
Yep. Okay. 111, you're on the air.
Kenny, it's Sam. How are you, honey?
All right, Sam. How are you doing?
I'm good, honey. Kenny, Comanche Park. Do you know Comanche Park?
No.
It's in San Antonio. And, Kenny, do you know Juneteenth?
What?
Juneteenth, honey. It's a holiday. It's coming up soon.
Yeah, Juneteenth.
June 16 and 17, Comanche Park. Let's go, honey. You and me.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I can make it.
It's
make
good.
That's a yes.
What time should I have you picked up, Kenny? Starts at 11 a.m. What time do you wake up, honey?
Sometimes I don't wake up until about 1 or 2.
Okay, let's start at 2 p.m. I'll have you picked up by 3. And we'll go to Juneteenth, just you and me. I'll get a hotel downtown by the river. So we can stay there because the event is 2 days, 16 and 17.
I don't know. We'll have to see about that. Okay, Sam, I can't promise you that I'll be able to do that.
Kenny, I went to church and God spoke to me and he said you were available.
Okay. Well,
so I'm going to write you down with pen that you're going to be there on the 16th and 17th because it's been too long, Kenny. We have to do this.
Okay. Take another call here, Sam. Let's take caller 757. Okay. Yeah, Ashley, is that you? Hey,
yeah,
Ashley.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Are Dexter and Grover still on?
Yeah, they're still on.
Well, I was wondering if there was I think I want to help Grover get back to Dexter. I do want to get him. And I was just wondering if I have a briefcase. I've got men who are coming. They have a briefcase with $666,000, and they will pay Grover if they come with him and he goes back home with Dexter and the rest of his family.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm sure he would over when it comes to that kind of cash.
Yeah.
Hi, Ashley.
Oh, hi, Sam. Do you want to go, and maybe if Grover won't take the money, do you think you and I would go maybe try to drain his balls for him and he'll come with us to see Dexter?
I kind of want that money that you said earlier. I want to spend it on Kenny, gifts for my honey.
Oh, but it's for a good cause. I'm trying to help Grover, Dexter. But I have more money that I could send your way.
Yes, that's
if you
good,
want.
Honey.
Okay.
Kenny, I can never remember. Can you do me a favor, Kenny? And can
what's
you
that?
Just remind us of the Ten Commandments? I can never remember.
Thou shalt have no other god before me. Okay? Thou shalt not, okay, graven images. Okay, thou shalt not kill. Okay, thou shalt honor thy mother and father. Okay, thou shalt keep the Sabbath day holy. Okay, shall not covet another man's wife. Shall not covet another man's belongings. Okay, amen.
Thou shalt not covet another man's boyfriend. So keep that beast away. He's breaking commandments.
Oh.
Yeah, Ken, you can do so much better than that guy.
I love Tony. Okay? Tony, I love him. Okay? Great guy. Okay?
Even if he throws eggs at you?
What's so great? Kenny, what's so great?
Oh, he's been there for me 100%. Okay? Whenever I need him, he's there. Okay? And I'm there for him. 101, you're on here.
No. Mr. Kenny?
Hello?
I'm Floyd. I'm a barber in North Carolina. I want to see my sister-in-law marry one of those space Jews. They exist. Yes.
Space Jews? What do you mean?
Like Jesus. They're aliens.
Okay. Goodbye. All right.
That's retarded. Somebody's retarded calling.
Pastor Ken, this is Dexter Washington, and I wanted to apologize for my language. I'm sorry, I got really upset and I hung up. first of all, I just want to say I'm going to pray for the retarded boy that just called the show. That was one of the worst calls I've ever heard in my life, and I couldn't make heads or tails of what the hell he was talking about. But I'm going to pray for the real retarded boy. I hope that he gets help. Secondly, I heard something about money for Grover. I think that's a great idea. Is that young lady still on the line, Kenny?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, let's do this. Let's do it the right way here. How about this? Grover, you give up all the the drug bullshit, and you get $666,000. That seems like a fair deal, and I think I heard the young lady say she would throw in a ball drainer free of charge. Now, that is an excellent deal. I appreciate Kenny letting us do, some prostitution or whatever you want to call it on the show. I know it's illegal, but this is a special situation, okay? All right, so Grover, what do you say?
All right, I begrudgingly will take the $666,000 in the complimentary blowjob.
Okay, now we got a deal now. Grover, we got a deal, right?
Begrudgingly.
I don't give a shit about begrudgingly. I don't give a fuck. Excuse me, I'm sorry, Kenny. I'm sorry for my language. Listen, I don't care what it is. All right, Grover. This is Dexter, man. Come on, man. Mama wants you home. I don't care if it's begrudgingly or not.
You're taking a deal, right?
I already said yes. I don't know why you keep bringing it up again. I said yes.
Because I know how you are. You say one thing, and then next thing I know, you got your dick on the train tracks, Grover. Okay?
That's old news.
That's old news. Shit still happened, did it not? You put your dick on the train tracks, told you not to do it. You did it anyway because you don't listen. You ain't listened since you were yay high. Had enough. Now I'm going to put you in the Cadillac with this young lady, and you're going to get serviced. And then you're going to get your money. Okay?
I already said yes three times.
All right. You're pissing me off, Grover. You're really pissing me off.
There's one more thing that after I finish training this balls, Grover's going to have to sign some paperwork with me.
Okay. Well, hold on, young lady. What kind of paperwork are we speaking about?
Oh, just a little agreement.
What is the agreement, ma'am?
That he gives me a full...
What?
I mean, you're not going to need a soul. It'll be all right. You'll be fine.
Wait, Kenneth, what? Does anybody know what she just said? I didn't understand. That sounded like some demon shit. Kenneth, you got a demon on this motherfucker?
Yeah, that's Ashley. That's Ashley.
Yep.
She says it's a deal for his soul.
He'll be fine,
you know what?
Dexter.
Listen,
okay.
at this point, Ken and young lady, I'm not even positive that Grover possesses a soul, so I'm fine with that.
Oh.
I'm fine with that. He don't care. He just want the money. I don't care. We just want him home. Mama wants him home, okay? Mama old, okay? Mama is almost 80 years old, okay? She has not seen Grover in many, many years. So whatever I have to do to bring him home, I'm going to do it. So you're going to sign that shit, Grover, and you're taking the money, you're getting your dick sucked, and we're going home to Mama, okay? You understand, Grover?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. There you go. Okay.
Hold on. Kenneth.
Happy to help.
I got to ask it. Wait, what?
I'm happy to help.
Oh, well, I appreciate you, young lady. I mean, I'm not a fan of the demon bullshit, but I will say I'm very happy you brought us together. Hopefully I will be able to locate Grover. That's always a Mission Impossible type deal with him because he's always in this.
My wife is really good with technology, and she was able to track the location of his call. And I've got some people who are
Don't hurt
him.
Don't hurt him. We don't want him hurt.
He's not going to be hurt. He's going to be A-okay. He's going to be in the best of care.
Is he in Laredo? Where is he at?
For security reasons, I can't exactly tell you because I think there's someone else who's after him. And,
wait a minute.
I want to keep
him safe. Who's after my cousin? They're going to have a motherfucking problem. Who's after my cousin? What's his name?
I think, I'm not sure if you know who he is. He's from Canada, and his name is Kent Hopper.
Oh,
he has penis,
I know that motherfucker.
And, yeah, that guy.
I'll make bacon out that.
Yeah,
he
wears a diaper.
I'll make bacon out that fat motherfucker. I'm not worried about him. Anyway, so, Grove, where did you say you were exactly? Like, where are you going to be in 12 hours? Can you tell me that? Because I'm getting in the car after this call. I'm coming to get you. What do you think you'll be in around 12 hours?
I'll be in Laredo. Laredo, Texas.
Laredo? Okay, what you wearing, brother?
I got a zoot suit.
Grover, why are you wearing that shit, man? You stand out like a sore thumb. It ain't 1973. Come on, man. You seriously wearing a motherfucking zoot suit, bro?
I like traveling style.
You traveling in style? You traveling back in time, nigga? It's 2023. You acting like it's 1973, man. This ain't the motherfucking Gong Show, man. Put on some normal clothes. All right, wear the damn suit. It'll make it easier to find. All right, so you're wearing a zoot suit. What color is it?
Teal.
All right. Thank you, Kenneth. You a good man for letting us hash this out on your show. I apologize for my profanity and my language issues, but, you know, Grover really know how to push my buttons and make me upset with his bullshit. But I want to thank the young lady that came on and put together the little business deal for Grover. I'm sure that's going to make him real happy. I don't know how we're going to handle this because I know he can spend the money real fast. We'll figure that out later.
Yeah.
And thank everybody for bringing us together, bringing the family back together. Mama going to be so happy, Grover. Mama going to be so happy. I'm going to wake Mama up. I'm going to wake Mama up tonight. Tell her your son's coming home.
You're welcome. I'm glad I could help.
Thank you so much to the God's Rainbow Ministry show. And if Kent Hopper is anywhere near my brother, I'm going to make bacon out that fat motherfucker. I'm just saying that for the record.
Uh-oh. I just found out. Do you know who Doctrine is?
Yeah, I think that's that nigga that eats pills like they candy and falls through walls and shit. Is that the guy?
Oh, no. He's on his way right now.
Oh, check this out. Grover will beat the shit out of that guy. I ain't even worried about him.
Oh, okay.
Doctrine about 3'7", man. Grover will stomp the shit out of him. He ain't gonna let that little fruitcake motherfucker do anything to him. He good. He gonna be good. He's fine. I'm sure he's got some people with him. Grover, you still there, brother?
I'm a nigger.
I know, man, but I'm saying brother. I don't like to say nigger all the time, man. That's some racist shit. Listen. I'm telling you right now, that red-headed dumb motherfucker with the pills and shit come after you, just smack the shit out of him for me. Will you do that for me?
No problem.
All right, brother.
Okay.
All right, we good. I'll see you in a little bit, man. I'm bringing that baby blue, the powder blue caddy that you like so much, brother. Hope you enjoy it. I guess I'll meet up with this young lady. After the show, I'll get your digits, and we can work from that, and then we will meet up and make the transaction. Does that sound good?
Oh, that's perfect.
Unbelievable. Kenny, I'm so glad you let us do this illegal deal on your show. I mean, this could be prostitution and a bunch of other things, but you know what? You a man of the people, and you know, you a good man, Kenny. You a good man. I don't know. You a gay man, but you a good man. I'll say that. So thank you, man. Thank you. And Grove,
right.
I'll see you soon, you're brother. Welcome. And Ashley, you a good lady too.
Okay. Thank you.
111, you're on the air.
This is Daddy. I want a blowjob.
Okay. 702, you're on the air.
Man, my retard's coming out everywhere tonight. Huh?
Yeah.
Hello there. Is this Pastor Ken?
Yeah, it's Pastor Ken.
Do you have a motorcycle for sale?
Yes, I do.
How much is it?
I'm selling it for $1,500.
You fucking Jew, it ain't worth $1,500.
Yeah, it is. It's worth more. It's worth about $9,000.
Okay, you take $800 for it?
I really gotta get $1,500.
$1,200 and a blowjob. But the final offer.
Kenny.
Well,
this caller smoked too much weed.
$1,200 and a blowjob. Are you down with that?
No, I don't want a blowjob. Thank you.
No, you give me a blowjob.
That man's retarded.
Kenny,
might
I think
have been the
a
first
lot of these.
Call. Sorry.
So I was just going to say, I think a lot of these retarded folk are calling from Kent's neck of the woods. I think there are a lot of his listeners. I think that, and they just trying to take over your show by calling in and you know, because they retarded.
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
Well, I'll go to Ardash tonight and meet up with you. Pick up the bike.
Yeah, sure. $1,200 cash.
I'll be there in two hours.
Okay. God bless you.
I got a slow job from you, right?
What?
And he's giving blowjobs.
If you see a boy, you suck his dick in a manhole.
Oh!
That's what I want.
Oh, my.
I want my angry blowjob.
God damn it, Kenny. Did you just say you see a boy, you suck his dick in the manhood? Come on, Kenny. That's disgusting, Kenny.
All right. Well, anyway, I'm done.
No, Kenny. Don't end the show, Kenny. And second, he admits that he runs.
Kenny, I just want an explanation. Kenny, I just want a goddamn explanation. You can't say that nasty shit and then run away like you on the goddamn track team, Kenny. Just tell me what it meant. You see a boy. Kenny, what does it mean? You suck a dick. Kenny,
you're going to hell.
God damn it. Listen to me, Kenny.